Military recruiters are targeting younger and younger children these days. In addition to the 42 junior ROTC programs running in Chicago high schools, there are 26 middle school cadet programs with 850 11 to 14-year-old children enrolled. Bill Southwick is a volunteer with the American Friends Service Committee and works with the Chicagoland Coalition Opposed to the Militarization of Youth, or COMMY. Southwick says Chicago has the most militarized school district in the country, with various levels of militarization.
In the high schools, it can range everywhere from recruiters allowed in the school, military recruiters from various branches of the armed services, in the high school recruiting students as colleges or corporations might recruit employees or prospective students in the high school. That's at one level. At the highest level, there are three military academies, Chicago Public High Schools, that are designated as military academies, which are run in a similar way to military schools. The next level, that's the most extreme form of militarization in a Chicago Public High School. Right under that would be an academy in as a part of the school, and Senn High School is a good example of that, where they've set aside set aside a section of the school, usually about a quarter of the school, that is set aside specifically to be run as a military academy and as a ROTC program, as a junior ROTC program in the school.
Now, what does that mean, a ROTC program?
ROTC is a training for military. It's the Officer Recruitment Corps that would be training students to enter the military. It's probably most familiar to people in universities and colleges, where it's been very common for a number of years, and where college students going through that program get support during their college years, and then as they graduate, then they go straight into the officer corps in a branch of the military. This has been transposed down to lower and lower levels, particularly in the high schools, where there is military training, marching, uniforms they wear in the school, military discipline, rules that they work by, their studies that relate to military training and warfare. So it's a scaled down version of the ROTC program that most people are familiar with in the colleges.
What kinds of promises are recruiters giving students?
Well, it's things like you can choose where you're going to be sent. You can travel the world. You will have some ability to choose where you'll be stationed if you enlist. Support for school, that they will, they've promised many kids that they will pay their student loans if they go to college. They will provide them with certain amounts of money during their school years. After they get out, they will be paid their tuition or portions of their tuition. Their sign-up bonuses, similar to sports figures, where they promise them they will get X amount of dollars for signing up. So there's an attempt to recruit. They begin recruiting kids 4 years prior to their actual reaching the age limit where they can enroll in the military. So by the time kids are old enough to actually be eligible for the military, they've had numerous contacts and promises made to them, many of which are not verbal promises, and are in no way are they realistic in terms of the ability of the military to produce on them.
Do you have proof of this?
Yeah. I mean, we have numbers of examples. The AFSC has been collecting, American Friends Service Committee has been collecting for some time reports from students of the kinds of things that, have been promised to them by recruiters. And then we have some data in terms of how much, for instance, in terms of the financial support that's promised after people leave the military, having been recruited under the promise of, significant financial support after they leave, and only about 15%, 10 to 15% of young people are really able to claim on the economic or financial promises that have been made to them.
That was Bill Southwick of the Chicagoland Coalition opposed to the militarization of youth.
The reason why it's hard to take advantage of the money for education that the military offers you is because sometimes while you're in, you're going to be working 18-hour days, 16-hour days, and it's impossible to go to school when you're working like that.
This film is posted on the CAMI website, featuring interviews with military veterans.
And when you get out, they give you a time span, 10 years. If you don't use that money within 10 years, you'll lose it.
My military experience was going to be $30,000 GI Bill college. That's what I thought my military experience was going to be. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the sweet shit they show you in the commercials. They show you all the GI Bill and the college this and that. In my MOS, you didn't have time to go to school.
Oh, I didn't have enough time because everything with basic training, AIT, and then airborne school, and then just settling down and trying to get adjusted to the new life. You know, and then the next thing you know, Gulf War started.
If you don't complete all of your time, which I didn't complete all of my enlisted time, so even though they took out $200 out of my measly paychecks, it was money I just basically never saw again.
The No Child Left Behind Act, otherwise known as NCLB, has a provision that requires all high schools to give the names, addresses, and phone numbers of their students to the Pentagon. Bill Southwick of CAMI says parents and students have the power to opt out of this listing.
In writing, they were permitted to request that the school not include their name and other personal information in the list that the school sent to the Pentagon. So there was an opt-out process that was in place as a part of that. Recently, and actually in the last few days, we also have a ruling from the Education Department that says that students can opt out on their own. They don't need their parents to do it. Prior to that, it was common practice to require both parents and the students in many schools to actively opt out or proactively opt out of that process. Now it's clear that students are able to do that on their own. They fill out a very simple form that requests that the school or the body within the school system that compiles that list to drop their name off of the list. One of the activities of the counter-recruitment effort of our committee and of others has been to get schools to notify both students and parents of that option that is open to them, because the No Child Left Behind Act did not require schools to inform parents and or students of their right to opt out of that process. Some schools did it voluntarily, but for the most part, schools were pretty lackadaisical, and school systems around the country were pretty lackadaisical about informing parents. Under pressure from committees like ours around the country and in Chicago, at this school year, for the 2005-2006 school year, school systems have more actively distributed opt-out forms that kids and parents parents can fill out in the registration materials at the beginning of the school, have made them more available through their guidance counselors and career centers in high schools and things. So it's gotten a little bit better this year in terms of informing. But again, the No Child Left Behind Act did not require school systems to communicate that. It suggested that they should, but it wasn't required. As in contrast to the list and the information that was required to be processed and sent to the Pentagon by the same act.
You can find copies of the opt-out form, materials to ask your school district to inform parents and students of the opt-out clause, and information on obtaining conscientious objector status through the COMY website. That's ccomy.org. We're coming to you from the trenches.
I ain't gonna stay.